Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Call in now on Skype, wolfspirit.switchboard1. Or on the telephone is 1-702-879-4770. That's 702-879-4770. This is Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes, that's my new jingle. Welcome to Ever Beyond. It is the 13th of April, 2014. So, tomorrow is 14/4/14. That should be fun. It's a grand cross, as we've just been discussing. So I might like to, you know, at the moment, until anybody calls in, I'm going to be talking about this grand cross energy, because basically it's going to be, this is a tricky one. We've all been discussing it. We can all feel it. If anybody wants to call in and talk to me about it, or talk to everybody else about it, anybody got any announcements about what's happening on the Grand Cross, whether you have any parties, any orgies or manifestations, or I don't know, anything you want to happen, you want to call in and, call in. So call in on that number and, it'll come through to the studio. Yeah. So, the Grand Cross, dan, 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 dan. It's an energy of, well, I mean, really, and somebody calls in straight away, there we go. Area code 440, hello, who's that?
Hi, this is Diane.
Hello, Diane. Well, are you Diane from the think tank?
I just dialed in, joined Wolf Spirit Radio to hear your show with Katie.
Awesome, awesome. So thank you very much. Would you mind if you could turning off the player in the background?
I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Square.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Everyone needs to learn how to do that when they call in, first of all.
I know.
Yeah. But it's okay, because it, you know, brings us, you realize that there's a delay. You've noticed that I'm still talking on the radio, and yet you haven't heard your voice yet. You have to click the little square on the Wolf Spirit Radio page.
Got it. I did it.
Good one. Well done. So, hello, Diane. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. Excellent. I've heard of
Cleveland. Yeah.
I have friends in Cleveland. One of them plays electric guitar. You've probably heard him. No matter where you are in Cleveland, you've probably heard him.
I love your shows, JP.
Oh, thank you very much, Diane. Have you been listening for long?
Well, I just joined Wolf Spirit like an hour ago. Mm-hmm. To hear you and Katie.
Oh, right.
And I used to listen on YouTube, but I couldn't wait tonight.
You couldn't wait. Excellent.
I want to hear about the Grand Cross and all that, yes.
Yeah, well, let's talk Grand Cross. In your life, do you find yourself facing something almost overwhelming that you feel that you cannot put up any more resistance against?
I do, but I think it might even be like a past life thing.
It's, well, I mean, from when Casey, we're talking that it's an alignment not only of one life cycle, but it's many, many multitudes of levels of life cycle all coming to as a node point, what they call the zero point.
Right.
So, yeah, so it may well affect the past life as well as present life, Diane, isn't it? Isn't it?
You need? Yes. Yeah, very much so.
So, tell me about what you're sensing, what you're feeling. How is it affecting you?
Well, my fear seems to be stronger. I mean, I live with a great deal of fear, and it's just going upwards. It's scaring the heck out of me.
Yeah, so that's always the big problem, is how to deal with the not only the fear in your own body, but the ambient energy around you. Now, as we were saying in the last show, this energy, I walked through this place where I felt so much more angry than I did, like, one foot away. And then I stepped through it, right. And on the other side, 10 feet later, I'm through it, and I'm feeling normal again. And it's like, what the heck was that about? And it may be not about anything. It may be just an ambient thing, just part of the atmosphere. You might walk into an area where it's more, and it just seems to be everything is amplified right now. The previously, you could deal with it. You could deny it. You can zone it out.
I could deny it.
You could zone it out.
Yeah,
and it's very interesting. It's a very interesting thing, zoning things out, because I've noticed this, and in myself and in others. When I zone something out, I still respond to it. I'm not conscious of it. It doesn't disturb my consciousness, and I've managed to isolate myself to something. Zoning something out, and I think on a grand human scale, on a planetary scale, we've zoned things out, and now they're becoming apparent. So it may be, who knows, tomorrow might be the day when we finally see the space fleet, for instance, when the human race suddenly becomes aware that it's not only not alone, but that a large number of humans have been interacting with these ETs for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of assistance out there.
So, there's a lot of anticipation. So, anticipation and fear could, excitement and fear is a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's like almost the same thing. Same kind of energy. Antsy sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it possible that you could also be kind of excited about something?
It seems more dreading it than excited. I mean, more like I think something really bad is going to happen.
And is that something that you feel that you've got no choice in?
Unless I heal my issues, I think I have no choice.
And
unless I get rid of the blockages and stuff that I have.
Well,
like Katie was talking about, yeah.
I mean, essentially, what we're saying is that, people are going to get through this one way or another.
Right.
But by knowing what is going on, you can facilitate it. So, for instance, if you fear things, step away from things for a moment. Take some space. Take some time. Call in sick, because you would be,
Right.
Whatever you can do to have a calm, quiet time, even if it means locking yourself into the bathroom all day, throwing your phone, taking the battery out of your mobile, just...
I've done that.
Yeah, I'm sure. just getting yourself to a place where you can feel completely safe, you will still go through stuff. Right. Stuff will be gone through.
Oh, I know.
But at least you've put yourself in a position that your body feels safe enough for you to do the process.
Okay.
Yeah? So, you know, get yourself a kind of pyjama suit. sit in the duvet. Whatever it takes for you to have a feeling of safety that doesn't impinge on anybody else's free will, of course. Whatever it takes, take that there. This is the best time to do it. I mean, on the other hand, you may just be able to get on with your day, and although you might feel things going through you, they'll be just going through you, and you'd be able to continue doing what you're doing. Depends on the nature of what you do, you know.
Right.
How emotional or intellectual your work is. So anyway.
Right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a have a happy Grand Cross.
I will.
You know, it's basically, you know, stay in the moment, stay happy, and keep breathing. You know, I'm not advocating any like highly complex rituals. You know, you don't need a chicken for this whole thing. You just need to keep breathing, and if you feel yourself in an emotional body, in an emotional state, just keep breathing. You know, because it'll pass. It'll pass really quickly if you keep breathing. It's like bellows it out. You know, like if you're starting a fire, you use a bellows to increase the pressure. Encourage it.
Right.
Encourage and know that no damage is going to come to you if you keep breathing to this thing. Just keep pushing oxygen into it, and oxygen is light. Oxygen is bleach. It whitens things. Yeah.
Right.
And it brings light to the darkness. So.
Okay, thank you.
Have a happy day.
Have a great Grand Cross.
A great Grand Cross.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much, Dan.
Thank you, JT.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
So, that was Diane. Hello. Oh, yes. Balanced. Oh, yes. Walking. Oh, bless. So, we'll put in a good word for Dave on the flip side on HAM, Healings and Meditations with Frank Jordan, which follows in about 1 hour and 40 minutes here on... All right. Okay, so let's... Trixie, why don't you call in? Yeah, I'd like... Trixie, call in. Trixie, call in. I would love to let's talk to Trixie, and then come on. Or is that kitten programming? So we've seen that the Grand Cross is facing everybody with their own challenges. One of the things that we also have to deal with is to be kind to ourselves in the process of it, not to get down. You know, even if you think you're an idiot, stop calling yourself an idiot, just say, you know, better luck next time or something, you know, is that be less down on you. Running and taking cover in your litter box is exactly. I've just pulled as a piece of string, dangly, little piece of string, kitty, here we go. Can't resist, the piece of string works every time. By the way, if anybody ever wants to extract a kitty from the sofa, from underneath the sofa or any other thing, just get a little piece of string and drag it across the room. And the kitty will jump out and chase it. It's inbuilt, it's hardwired into kitty brain, jump on snake. And it works every time. Anyway. Ah, there's Dave. Hello, Dave. Welcome. So, come on, Trixie. You better call in or I'm going to call you. Whatever way it is, you're being on it. You're coming on. Because, I mean, there we go. So, I'm going to say what she says here. I so feel done. I so feel the done with the BS chaos nonsense in the world and with people in these energies. Just not interested in engaging the crazy and quiet... Just in the face, oh hell, you know, I am not going there. Anyone else feeling that? So, come on, my dear. In you come. Wolfspirit.switchboard1. Here's the number. one more time.
Call in now on Skype, wolfspirit.switchboard1. Or on the telephone is 1-702-879-4770. That's 702-879-4770. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah, so here we go, Trixie. Yeah, we know you're on that. We know you're out there. Anyway, so Grand Cross. Here's the thing, you guys, everybody listening, you guys all know that this is going to be happening. You guys all know that by tomorrow, everybody's going to be even more intense than they have been today. But you also know that after tomorrow, it's going to get a little easier. It's that the energy is going to die away, or at least it's going to start dying away. That it's the transition is always the problem. You know, once you, it's like getting up in the morning. I love being in bed, but I don't like getting up. And oh, I like being dry, but I don't like getting in the shower and getting wet. And then I went like, in the shower. Oh, I love being in the shower, but I like getting out because it's cold and you know, I have to dry myself. And you know, sort of wet and naked. You don't want to get clothes. You know, there's this energy of like not wanting to go and change state. So, in a way, tomorrow is going to be a bit like having somebody pour or take a wet flannel and rub it on your face when you're fast asleep. Yeah. Yeah, that's the traumas of my life. That's what my mum used to do to me to wake me up. She used to get a wet flannel and rub my face with it, which actually is probably a little more humane than having water thrown on you, as maybe some other people might have to. Yes, come on. Compose yourself. What do you need to compose? I'm a composer. You can come and call me. Maybe a tiger. So, it's the changing of state that is always the problem for our emotional bodies. We don't like the change. We don't like transitions. And thus we become intransigent. We don't want to change the way we are. And we see, you know, certainly the people who are in the powers that be don't want to give up their power. But at this moment, this is what's going on. JP Skype is... What's going on? What's happening? Yes. My Skype is... I will give you my... no, just call into wolfspirit.switchboard1. Wolfspirit.switchboard1. Like I said in the thing. So... Dave's back. Oh, is that you, Crone? Oh, Crone is Diane. All right, hello, Crone. Excellent. Right, so, what was I talking about? The idea of... now I'm completely off my track. That was good. The topic was going through the Grand Cross, coming through the... Yeah, it's the same as the what they call going through the eye of the needle. And like I was kind of saying to Diane during the call, it's very much like everybody's going to go through this. Everybody. At different stages according to where their consciousness is. And the people who get this will be able to step aside from themselves a little tomorrow and be composed in themselves and be compassionate with whatever's presented in front of them. It's going to be hard. It might be a really small situation, but you might recall this moment and I'm saying, just take a step back and see what it is you're doing and feel if there's a way you can apply compassion to this idea. And compassion is just, you know, feeling something from somebody else's perspective. it's sometimes a hard day. I think it's already feeling pressurized. I can feel a pressure in my head. Everybody I know has been popping aspirins, more than ever. People are more stressed. Prices are more expensive. Money is more scarce. Work is scarce. Everything is pressurizing everybody from all directions. Today, tomorrow, if you haven't popped, or if you haven't found some way of releasing this energy by grounding it in some way. Grounding it is a really good way of doing it. You can step outside and just take your shoes and socks off and stand on the grass for a while until you feel kind of normal again. And because it is a charge. This is an electrical problem in a way. It's a bit like that's right. This used to happen to people in the 70s. And these things came out in the 80s, I think, is that because a car is rubber and tar is non-conductive, and basically you got these two non-conducting things carrying metal, a static charge would build up as a car goes down the road. And that, I don't know if you remember when you were kids, you stepped out of the car and you touched the car body, like the door handle, and you got a spark from it. This is because of the electrons being stripped off the road by the car as it goes down. These electrons build up on the outside shell of the car. It's called a static charge. You've seen the Van de Graaff generator and things like that. And people used to get sick from being in the car, not just the vibrations, but also the static build-up. And, it's also a fire hazard, as you step out the car in the petrol station, spark and boom. So that could be inconvenient. So in the 80s, they devised these little rubberized strips that you would see on the back of cars. And I think I remember French cars being the first one to have these rubberized strips. And this would discharge the energy as in a more safe, controlled way. Whenever the rubber strip touched the road, it would conduct the excessive charge down to the ground. So, in a way, an analog to that process is what we need to keep in mind. So, in a way, you could do it literally, putting your hands holding the taps, holding a faucet. Really good is standing on the grass. That we got chakras in our feet that connect with the earth mind. Great wisdom, great grounding, everything is a great thing if you take your shoes off and stand on the grass. If things get too much, if you can remember that, just get everybody out. Okay, everybody out. Shoes and socks off. Stand there. If people are, it might be a ridiculous sounding thing to do, but it really will cool things down. That become overheated. This is likely to be what's going on. Overheating. The effects of overheating. And certainly I'm thinking, we haven't had a proper winter here in Scotland. I know you had one in America. You didn't have a proper winter. I think you had our winter. I think somebody stole Scotland's winter and dumped it in Missouri. I don't know why, but just this like massive snow thing that you had over the over the last few months, and we had just the perfect weather. We had really nice weather, which is terrible, which means that we've got midges in April instead of June, things are going to be quite unpleasant up here for a while. Maybe I'll find a way of making the house sealed and airtight so the midges can't get in and out. There's Trixie. There we are. So, so, hello, Beatrix.
Hi, JP.
How are you doing?
I am doing Grand Crossy.
Grand Cross. So tell us all about your Grand Cross experience, Trixie.
Well, this kind of goes into what Katie was saying in the show before about how now you don't have years to go into therapy to process everything because it's coming up so quickly. And I had read something, oh, probably like 10 years ago, that said that. And it made so much sense to me to just take what's coming up, deal with it the best that you can, and move on. That you don't have to process it to death and get every little nuance of it. Because, you know, a minute later, an hour later, there's more and more and more and more. And that's seriously ramped up, I think, with these energies.
That's a really excellent way of putting it, Trixie. And the way I'm dealing with it right now, because there's so much, there's so many things to deal with all at the same time, I go straight to the feeling. Because this feeling is the universal language, but we take so long to describe what a feeling is. And often it can be quite easy to describe, you know, to encapsulate a feeling. Songs can do it, other ways, but essentially we get to the feeling of it, and then we are able to work through the discharge of that feeling.
Absolutely agree with you on that.
So it's I think when we're dealing with these things, apart from breathing, okay, so we breathe. Step one, breathe. Because, that sounds like a stupid thing, but, if you sometimes need to be... I sometimes certainly need to be reminded to breathe, because it's like... it's like, I can't deal with anything, so I'll just stop breathing for a moment, and then forget to start breathing again. So we get the breathing, and then the next thing is to... Because you breathe into your heart. That's what does it. You breathe into the heart. And then you get to feel the feeling. And then, rather than going into the story, what we call the narrative of that, we just state what that feeling is. I'm angry. I feel disappointed. You know, I'm this, I'm that. I feel this, I feel that.
I think that is brilliant, what you just said about that. Right on.
Because... And that takes it to the point of being able to deal with it in real time. However, yes. It's taken me several years, probably more than most, to get to this point. But I think, we've all been doing it. I think if you're listening to this show right now, then you've done it. You can't have gotten here by accident. Your soul has taken you to this place, to this moment, this sharing right now, because there's a morphological field with this. I've been doing this for more than a year now, more than a whole cycle, this Sunday service thing, four shows in a row, five sometimes, and it's a it develops a life of its own. It's got its own consciousness. And I heard earlier, I was watching the chat room earlier, and people were saying, this is so much better than going to church. Yet, in a way, it's the same sort of place that people used to use churches for when they were used to be temples to consciousness, rather than places where you worship a fake deity kind of thing.
I think you just got to the heart of the matter there, and what you said your process is of breathing and stepping back, going into the feeling, and the words that you used about that were that this is mine, and I think that is a big difference between the church where you're going into that, morphogenic field of kind of the collective, because if this is our own programming, it's individual, and I think that's what we need to get to rather than the processing, is this is how I feel, this is what it is to me, and let it go, and moving on.
Yeah. And do you know what that's called? That's having a term for it. It's called coming to terms. You know?
Good term. Good way to state that.
Yeah, people use these words all the time. Yeah, I'm coming to terms with it. Actually, that's exactly what it means. It means I've got a name for it. I've got a term for it. And when you come to terms, it means it's not bigger than you, it's not overwhelming, it's something smaller than you that you can handle, because the handle is the word. That's what words are, they're handles on things. Pass me that thing. Pass me the blue jar, you know.
Yeah.
You've got a name for something, it can be specified, objectified, manipulated, handled, you know, lifted,
yep.
Picked up, dropped, you know.
You can deal with it. And what I had said earlier in the chat about that feeling of just being done with it, once you have spent years coming to terms with that and finding out how to deal with your stuff, and you realize that it's programming, there's even sometimes when you can identify it as programming, and yet there's this little voice in me still that says, I know better, this is what this is, but you almost feel this pull like, that's not important, just go back to sleep. It's so odd to know that the programming is there, like how strong that is. But once you begin to deal with that in yourself, how I feel right now with these energies, once you can see it in yourself, you can see it in others around you out in the world. And I work, you know, with the public. And there is this feeling when you see it, I'm just not going to engage that. And you see all the little ways and techniques that people have of trying to hook you into engaging that programming.
That's right. And this is the thing. If we go into the programming, if we follow the same thing, the same madness that we were doing, then that's where those explosions happen, because you put yourself into a compromise, and you'll compromise your blood vessels and heart center, and boom, you can make yourself. People can. I imagine that there's going to be a lot of people very ill over this. These few days, put themselves into such a terrible state.
I think you're right on that. I would just use the term, I have come to see it as self-abuse. It makes it easier for me to identify that. And it's self-abusing, where you're not releasing it, you're not moving on from it, and then it does show up as some type of disease in the body eventually.
Yeah, and I think before it becomes a disease, it becomes a person. It becomes embodied in an actual other person. You could call it a nemesis, or they call it the dweller on the threshold. It's everything that we've denied about ourselves.
Yes.
And, you know, it's very easy to find, because you just think of the person or thing that you hate the most. And then, you know, list out its qualities. That's always a good one. You want some quick therapy? You know, the things you hate the most, list them out. List out what's wrong with them, and then tell me what they are. That's always a good one.
I think part of that, too, is this acceptance of the fact that you don't have to, nor is it even possible, to like everything about another person. We don't even like everything about ourselves. And accepting that is kind of breaking that new age programming that we have to be so loving and kind to everyone, because there are beings on this planet that no amount of loving them or trying to help them is going to change anything but get you into more trouble.
changing yourself is always the best option. Because if you try to change another, you might be interfering with their free will.
Agreed.
And so when, yeah, I suppose that's the higher way. You see these higher beings, like, they try to adapt to their environment rather than the other way around.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things you, rather than engaging it, because you begin to see that that's an energy loop that you get into with that, identify as much as you can what that is and disengage from that.
So, grandly cross. May we grandly cross the Grand Cross tomorrow, and let's hope we don't get grandly crossed. I mean, this is the big issue at the moment. It's like everybody seems really angry about things. Oh, do you use cross in America for angry?
Yes,
yeah.
We do.
Yeah,
I'm very cross with you.
Yeah. Are you? No.
No, I'm not cross with you.
But there are people that definitely it is ramping up of the acting out at others. Like you said, if you haven't dealt with your stuff, it is flying out all over the place. And you can see it in the people. Everyone is acting out rather than getting it out of them. And they're projecting it at other people. It's really interesting how ramped up this is becoming.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the moment, like I said, that we've been waiting for, but we've been seeing the pangs, the building up, what do they call them? Well, those things when a child is being born, those contractions.
Oh, yeah.
They're like contractions. This is exactly like it, and they get faster and faster. You know? So,
yeah.
And, you know, they have always said, you know, there's the world will seem like in travail, like in childbirth. And so these waves of earthquakes and energy flows, it's always the more practice that you've had allowing muscles to stretch, the easier it becomes. And so it's really a matter of allowing the energies to pass through you without allowing them to hook onto you and inflame, you know? And really, I think what it's like, just breathe it through. It'll pass. You know, if it's good, it'll pass. It'll be intense, but it'll be good. And if it's bad, it'll pass. It'll be intense, but it'll pass. I wish I had a copy of some George Harrison tracks. All Things Must Pass. I think I've got that. But he's...
Yeah. But and in childbirth, the closer those contractions come, the less recovery time that you have. And I think that's what the, you know, good way to put that. We don't have downtime now. It's, you know, 1 second in between those contractions is now.
And what is the thing that you do when you give birth?
Breathe.
Thank you. So that's the way to do it. I mean, it's there's only one thing you can do. If you can get from one breath to the next, you're doing all right. That's my advice for this next few days. If you can get from one breath to the next, you're doing fine. That's a good baseline. At least you're still breathing. Because everything else might seem to be going completely A over T. By toilet paper. Actually, buying toilet paper is a really good idea. Stocking up on... It's always a good idea to stock up on toilet paper. You never know. You never know who might be coming. You know, it might not be you that has the problem. You know?
And you don't want to have to use the bath towel.
That's right. Oh, yes. Not at all. Well, meanwhile, crossing the ground, there's this thing that has always been, they always call this thing the planet of the crossing. Have you heard of this?
No, I don't think so.
One of the reasons that they called it Planet X, planet of the cross, is that X time is a cross time. Interesting. 14. Why is 14 about a cross? Yes, 3.5 either way, 7 either side. Two sevens. Anyway, sorry, just thinking a lot. That's how I think. I have all these thoughts that overlap each other and run parallel. And so, remaining focused, remembering that I'm on the air here, and that we have... clearing of stuff. Do you remember we were talking about the what stuff is? It's the undealt with parts of ourselves or undealt with parts of our reality that has been it's like a hernia. It's like built up on the other side of a hernia and is, you know, just not in a very healthy state and is blocked, but it feels like it's going to be squeezed out. And we can either kind of very gently open it back up again and allow the stuff to liquefy and escape, or it's going to come out and tear its way through. And again, it's like the whole childbirth thing. We just have to breathe through whatever we're feeling. This is the main nub of it, and I keep saying this is the main nub because it just gets, the picture gets bigger every day, every moment, is that when you guys are going to be listening to this and you'll be thinking about this, maybe it'll be going on in your mind, and you'll see other people around you in the following days, and they'll see you and they'll know that you know something that they don't, because you're different to them. You're vibrating at a different rate. You're calmer. You have more awareness as to what's going on. And people will come up to you, and you'll be able to help people in the same way. And that's why you're listening to this station. Just wanted to remind you.
I think that people do identify those, and that ability to recognize those people is coming more online in the general populace. I do. And I had an interesting, Journeys with Rebecca host. Rebecca, she likes to say night experiences that she has as opposed to dreams. And I had one probably about 8 to 10 years ago, in which it was like this ceiling of the Grand Cross where all of your stuff is building up, and it happened one night as I was going to bed, and I could just feel it like this gigantic black mass right above me, almost like the pain body, and I said, this needs to go. I cannot live a human life with this here. And my night experience was so interesting that I was allowed to go. And there were other beings there of many different types. And it wasn't speaking. It was all like telepathy in a sense. And I was allowed to show them what this mass was. And literally what I did was emote it all as a feeling. And I have to say, the most interesting part of that was I was very well aware of what was personal to me and what was part of the collective, like war, rape, all of those things that are a collective part of the corruption in energetic streams. I could identify the difference between what was mine and what was collective. And we are, like you said, clearing the collective on the planet as well.
That's a very good point. Knowing what's yours and what's not yours. In fact, that's one of the tasks of the disciple. What is mine? Because that's what we call boundaries. And because, like you say, of the corruption, of the rape, of the trauma played upon us as a collective and as individuals, we often lose sight of that. We often lose sight of all those good parts about ourselves.
Yeah, and you can't be in denial about the fact that a lot of the things that are within you are collective traumas. No amount of wanting that not to be so is going to get rid of the absolute hardcore reality that that is a part of our energetic experience here.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, I think, you know, remember I've been talking about these like waves of, or little globules of stuff, of feelings? I think the one just passed through me because it was like, I'm feeling very clear now, but it's like, bloop, and I couldn't think of one thing to say. And I forgot where I was, and I, you know, just totally lost my train.
Interesting. I wonder what that was about.
Well, I mean, these things happening. That's another thing that I'm finding, is like I can step 5 feet away from where I'm standing and I'm thinking a different thought. I'm feeling a different feeling. I walk into my kitchen and I feel one thing, and I like walk back and think. I feel most of the time. I exist in my feelings rather than my thoughts. I lose my contextual continuity because I might be in the same house, but each room has a different energy, so it's a different vibration, and so it's just like tuning into a different radio station. I can't remember why I was in that room because I came from the other room when I was thinking something else.
So you, at this time, you're really tuned into the energies of your environment and literally processing that, like, every second.
As I'm walking across the room, yeah. And it's like, wow. I tell you what it's like. When I have been in bands and, music bands, and we have a new member who doesn't know how the tunes go. And you play it for a while, and you play the sequence of chords, and there comes a point when you get a realization that person has learned it. And what I find is that having transferred something, I then have to actually relearn it from scratch. And so
Really? It's
like a cut and paste operation to teach someone playing a tune. It's not a copy and paste. It's a very, very interesting thing that happens. And it's like I go, whenever somebody gets something, I go back to the point of not knowing it again. And then I have to remind myself, get my mind back of exactly what it is that I've just passed on. Because it literally has passed on. That's a very interesting thing.
Idea that we don't need to know everything at once. We just need in the moment what it is that we need in that moment, and when we fulfill that, we can move on and getting comfortable with allowing ourselves to trust that what we need to know in the moment is going to be there for us.
Absolutely. I find this when I need to do something in the house, I've got everything that I need. I just need to assemble it right.
So it's literally flowing in that.
So I'm going to, it's the top of the hour again. God, that was quick. We're going to do some stuff. What should I put? Oh, yeah. Allman Brothers. How about Jessica? This is a great tune. Everybody loves Jessica. And it's a really long song now. A 17-minute song. Hang on. That's just a little too long. Let's see. Actually, why not play Whipping Post? Whipping Post is a great song. Let's put Whipping Post on. I was going to play Jessica, but I'm going to put Whipping Post on because I play this with my band and we really enjoy it. So here we go. This is Whipping Post by the Allman Brothers.
Whipping Post by the Allman Brothers. From the 1970s, back in the old days. Back from way back when we were young people. All our life ahead of us.
Anyway, yeah, hi, this is Ever Beyond, this is JP, and I've just gone on one. Anyway, so, hello. We got a caller, and your name was, and it's gone, it's escaped me.
Lily.
Lily, that's right. Of course it is, yes. So, Lily, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, are you experiencing the energies of the Grand Cross in any way, shape, or form, or are you just sailing through it?
I'm sailing through.
Now tell us the real thing. What's the real story? No, I'm sure that everything's fine. The thing is that in order to tune into you, I need you to talk. Just tell me about stuff. So, tell me about how you got here.
Okay, I have a very dear friend who has had an experience with your ray readings, and she spoke to me about them, and was very intrigued and curious, and on a spiritual path that I'm exploring all things, and I think that is one area I would like to explore is the ray readings.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you very much. So, Lily, your monadic ray. Now, what was the experience? Without telling me exactly who it might be, just in case. Was it up? What was your friend's experience of it? How did it change her life in any way? Did it improve things? I hope it improved things. I really hope it improved things.
I think it helped her to understand that she is healthier than she thought she might be, and. You know, as we get older and the environment we live in, we are all concerned about, how the environment has affects us along with our, the food we eat and, et cetera. So, I'm just, getting up there older in years and trying to explore all aspects of my health and spiritual being, so I'm here.
Cool. Well, I have to say your monad ray. Now I don't know if you're aware of what these words mean: monad, soul, and personality.
Yes, I do have some understanding.
So what it is that. Your monad ray is ray 2, which puts you within the fleet of the human fleet. Fleet? Why am I being an eagle? I don't know. So I'm getting this very, very strong hawk energy as well. Do you relate to hawk birds?
I love birds.
Strange.
I don't know if I relate to hawks, but I do love birds.
Yeah. Interesting. My hands are doing this thing that makes it look like an eagle. Okay. They're locked together and they're flapping like an eagle. I don't know what that means because I don't do that sort of thing. But anyway, so you may have. Have you got Native American blood in you?
No, but I do understand that. My soul. Mm-hmm. I do very strong in my soul have Native American.
So, here's the thing. Your monad ray is ray 2, your soul ray is ray 7, and your personal ray is ray 2 again. Okay, so there's a lot of love featured in your life on lots of levels. You know, you'll have experienced love on different kinds of levels, love in terms of a group, love in terms of a family, love in terms of personal, love in terms of working relationships. All of those, and part of your path has been to understand how all of those blend and work together, which will give you the ability to be a good kind of, how can I put this? Do you work with groups at all?
Actually, not really. I work a lot with horses. I'm actually rather grew up very shy and not comfortable in groups. I'm trying to overcome this more.
Have you been? Have you heard about VSP? Very sensitive people. Because a 7-2, 2-7-2, you'll be very sensitive. It's a blessing and a curse. In that, if you find yourself in groups, you might be overwhelmed because you're actually feeling everybody's feelings. You know, people are transparent to you. They're more than transparent. They kind of radiate outwards from their being, and the more there are, the more it's like frog spawn. It kind of all builds up and fills up the space, leaving you with none. Secondary people are very, very sensitive, really sensitive, and almost like transparent. And so people can be a problem to some people. So I can understand why you want to hang around with animals who don't have that same kind of stress, tension, energy around them, do they?
No, they're very comforting, and they are what they are, and you give them love and kindness, and they're more than happy to give it back. So they're very comforting and feel more at home with nature than with a lot of people.
Yeah.
We've been that way.
Yeah, but you do have a lot of love to give to a lot of people. Somewhere along the line, there's something. Maybe it's, I don't know, is there something that you can teach? It's in the area. Here's the area. The second ray is the area of teaching and healing and providing the need for. And the seventh ray is in the line of, they call it ceremonial order, but it can encompass many things, including working with groups. So that's like creating a ceremony, you know, like an event. That's a group work, creating an event, because it takes loads of people to actually make it happen. And you have to work together as a harmonic team and all of those things. So, you know, one element of group work is to organize those, like an event team or that kind of thing. Of seventh ray is also involved with law, and so another expression is a completely different one, a different line, is like somebody who teaches law. Yeah, somebody who translates law into something that other people can understand. That's part of healing and teaching.
Oh, okay. I work in criminal justice. My job.
I'm sorry?
I said I work in the criminal justice field.
Oh, you do? All right. So you work in the law. Right. Okay. So you see, like I said, there are seven rays, and the seventh ray has many, many sub-rays, and they can fall into different areas. You know, one of them is magic. And you might think, how is law connected to magic? Have you got it yet?
Not that.
Legalese is a different... Legalese is a translation of English. It's not a real... It's not the same language. So it's using magic to... magic is defining, redefining reality. And that, the legalese, redefines your reality. It's magic.
Okay, I never thought of it that way.
And, you know, everything's on spelling and grammar, isn't it? And all the spells are in Latin, aren't they?
Yes.
Can you give me an Expelliarmus here?
No.
You know what I'm saying? You know, listen to Harry Potter, and they're all talking in Latin. Oh, hang on a second. That sounds familiar.
Yes, I can do a, you know, what is the Harry Potter part? Hermione.
Yeah.
There you'll say, or something.
Yeah, that's right.
That is silly. Yeah.
So that's, again, that's the seventh ray. Ray has got, you know, so it creates the structure that underlies our existence, our reality. You know, some people live in this legal framework. Some people live according to natural law. You know, the law of the land and the law of the sea. There's all different kinds of law. Maritime law. Commercial law. You know?
Okay.
Insurance law. There's all these different areas that define different areas of our reality. You know, that's what the Matrix is, you know, that whole body of... It doesn't actually exist in reality. It exists in a framework of mental. But it's not... really, there is no thing that is law. You know? You might look at a court, but that is not law. You might look at a judge, it's not law. Law is the flow of energy that's passing through them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, when you talk about energy.
Yeah? So, this is the construct, the matrix, you know, that we steep ourselves in. You know, you drive along the road, and you drive on the right, you do drive on the right, don't you? Yeah. You drive on the right, and you follow all the rules, and da-da-da-da-da. And in a way, you know, most of that is protocol to stop you breaking other people's cars. It's like, it's just ways of avoiding accidents. Most of the, you know, all the rules of the road are to avoid accidents, which, you know, is obvious, you know, that's why there are guidelines and why there are laws on the road. But it's the seventh ray that gives you the structure of things. So we're in a new era, this Aquarian age, and it's the age of the seventh ray. It was the Piscean age, the age of the sixth ray. So the sixth ray was all about this intangible stuff that made intangible stuff real. You know, again, the church and Christianity became like, well, it became priests and robes and mitres and crooks and paraphernalia that always, oh, this is religion, oh yes, this is God, this is the domain of God and all this stuff. And you have to believe and you have to do all this and you have to have faith and all of those things. And that was the way that people related to their higher spirits in those days. But now is a different thing. We're moving into a place where people know, acknowledge. Is where it's all at these days, is understanding. And we're understanding the physics, like Katie was talking about. We were talking about the physics of metaphysics, the physics of spirituality. There is a physics behind it. It's real. It's as real as red, green, and blue light. It's just on different octaves that can't be seen, can't be perceived, but it doesn't mean that they're not real. We can have machines that can measure it and can translate it into red, green, and blue, even though they're several octaves above red, green, and blue, and we can't see them anymore. But they're still there. They're still doing what they're doing. They still make your eyes hurt. Still burn your skin, you know? Still real. And so when you're talking about the ray of ceremony and order and magic and law and what else is the seventh ray is about? Architecture is another thing. Again, form, geometric forms, Pythagoras, and again, Pythagoras leads us to numbers, numbers that leads us back to magic, and it all comes down to vibration. And recognizing that the seventh ray is the full manifestation of the law of vibration as it translates down and down from the original source of the original idea as it slowly takes form as it manifests down the planes until it finally manifests on the physical plane in front of us. Even if that process happens through us, it still goes through those seven layers, coming from the thought all the way down to the physical manifestation of it. And so the seventh ray is the one where that all comes together, and they call that the highest and lowest meet. Does that make sense to you?
The high. Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hang on, have you got a nine? Are you a nine in your birthday?
There is a nine in my birthday.
Yeah, so nine's about completions. So, yeah, so some, they're thinking. So, okay, in that, in when you're talking about, I'm looking at the way your seventh ray applies through the second ray personality. And that would imply, a great deal of learning and a great deal of service. But it wouldn't necessarily be like a position of command. It would, you know, and it would, you it's like you're not ambitious. Is that right? Or do you feel that you can go all the way to the top?
I'm what? Not ambitious?
Are you ambitious or not ambitious? The second rate generally is not ambitious, happy to be in a position of not being responsible for everything and just doing what they like doing.
Oh, well, I think I'm a little bit of both. I have my own business, and I like being responsible for that. And So
your business, does it involve, is it competitive with other businesses, or is it just happy to be where it is? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, is it like a
kind of... Oh, yeah. No. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, yeah, in a sense, I would like it to be, you know, a little more competitive, but, you know, I have a full-time job. My business is part-time, and so I don't know if it's being, you know, comfortable with where it's at, or am I not ambitious enough? I don't know. I you know, try not to beat myself up because it's not moving as quickly as I would like it to.
Well, ambition doesn't necessarily mean you have to be killer. You know, you don't have to have... long story. But what I'm talking about is, like, you don't have to be ambitious. You can, like, do what you want to do and do it and enjoy it. And you don't have to be better than anybody else. You just do provide the service that you can provide. Well, what's your business, by the way?
Oh, you're right. Oh, I took it the wrong way. No, you're right. I don't have to be a millionaire with my business. And, you know, I have to, I'm a designer. I design my own line of jewelry, and, you know, specific to me. So there's, in a sense, you know, there's no competition because I have my own line. And, you know, I'm happy to make other people happy when they buy it and are happy. And,
now we're talking.
Yeah.
The other thing. Seventh Ray is all about crystal.
All about what?
Crystal. Structure. You remember what I was saying about structure? Geometry.
Crystal.
I forgot to mention crystal. Okay, I've got, you can see, if you see me, I'm surrounded by, I'm staring. There's a crystal pointing at me, a laboratory grown crystal, massive one, pointing at me.
I'm staring at one also.
So that was the elephant in the room, maybe. The seventh ray is very in tune with the crystalline structure of everything. And that crystals and seventh ray people, this is, you know, the you hear about the indigo children and the crystal children. You heard about that?
All right, I'm familiar with the indigo children.
All right, well, it's a sort of the indigo children's next generation. But the way I see it in terms of the rays is the indigos, and the color of indigo is the second ray. The second ray color is indigo. So the indigo kids are the hippies, the hippie generation, people who align with this dark blue color, and not in a kind of official sort of way, but it's like, it's just the color that appeared at the time, indigo. And they've got these qualities, and like you're aware of, but they say that there's the crystal generation. And this, I believe, are the new crop of the new soul ray, the Aquarian age ray. And crystals are very much a part of everyday life. In fact, it already is. Every child, every teenager onwards in this, in our sort of Anglosphere, has a crystal device. They call it a smartphone. But it's a device that's mainly based on silicon crystal. And operates through a silicon crystal light fiber network. It's all crystal. So that's the seventh ray as well. Multiple experiences in the same moment, like multiple link-ups, satellite link-ups all over the globe. That sort of thing is seventh ray, and it's now becoming an everyday occurrence. In the 70s, when I was a kid, we had Live Aid, Band-Aid, and everything was it in the 70s? No, it was in the 80s, wasn't it? It was 85. But it was a live link-up. What was that? The Beatles. Love. All you need is love. They did that. That was a global link-up. That's a 7th-ray energy. That's the energy of, on the worst side of it, line dancing, is the dark side of the Borg. You will be come part of the collective. But the whole dichotomy in the seventh ray is whether you go to collective mind or hive mind. Hive mind is like what the New World Order wants to be, and collective mind is like how it's like organic human. Mm-hmm. And this Grand Cross, I think, is part of that moment where we make that choice.
This is the first I've heard of the Grand Cross.
This is the first you've heard of the Grand Cross. Right. Well, tomorrow, if you were to go to a website that had a... let me just see. Astrology. Here we go. If you go and get an astrology chart, I'm just posting it in the chat room. Astrologyland.com. There we go. Free chart. You can see what is going on in the wheel of the now and all these things. Excuse me. If you look at an astrology wheel for right now, which I'm just about to do, where was he? Yeah. Since you're on the telephone, I can't actually show you, but if you were to look at it, I'll describe what I'm looking at, is that there's a whole group of planets on the northeast side, and a whole group of planets on the southwest side, and a few dotted around, but majorly is that you'll see Jupiter is opposite Pluto, and that the Sun, now is it, no, which one is it, Uranus is opposite Mars and the Sun is opposite the Moon, and that's going to be happening tomorrow because that's what the eclipse is. An eclipse is an exact Sun-Moon opposition. So you know we've got a full moon and eclipse tomorrow, yes?
I didn't know that, but
right.
I believe you.
It really helps to watch the moon, because by way of understanding what's going on with people, because people are affected by the moon, and, you know, every full moon things happen. You know, it's a definite thing. You can check your local hospital's records on the day of the full moon. They get more admissions in the accident and emergency. You know, it just happens. That's just normal.
Right.
So it's the tension. It's the pressure that we're squeezed between the Sun and the Moon. But what's happening is also we've got Jupiter and Pluto on either side, squeezing us there as well, with their particular flavor of whatever they squeeze us with. And so what I'm observing is that everybody who has any residual trauma that has not been dealt with, it will arise, and they'll deal with it as fast as they can tomorrow, because it's like everything's coming all at once. This may be advance warning. It's a bit like, you know, it's going to be really sunny tomorrow, so you better wear a pair of sunglasses, kind of thing. Be prepared that you'll hear or see people blow up on all kinds of levels, on a physical level, on emotional levels, on mental levels, breakdowns, all that kind of thing.
And I'll take notes. Yeah. Take special note of that tomorrow.
Even in your little world, I mean, you might see just like three or four people in your day, but it'd be interesting to watch exactly what you're seeing, even if it's just in your own personal world. And the Grand Cross is the picture I have of that. Do you know the Egyptian Ankh symbol?
Yes.
Imagine that that is you, and that you have to stand there with your arms wide open. You have to embrace whatever comes to you, whatever that means. So everybody's got their own meaning of what that might mean, and you'll have your experience tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see what happened, because there will be an opportunity there for you to show compassion that perhaps you haven't had before. Perhaps it's somebody or something that you dismiss as not important that will come into your field, and you'll have to deal with it and treat it as important. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and I will be aware of it, especially now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, it's really interesting. So the thing about the crystals and jewellery and things like that is that using crystals in a healing form, that's the combination of the Ray 7 energy and the Ray 2 energy. So that's something that you would probably actually love doing more than the legal thing.
Yeah, I love the crystals. And actually, I designed a piece that combined my design with crystals. So I haven't produced it yet, but I'm in the process of producing it.
And do you make it with, what do you use? Do you use brazing iron or twisted wire, or what's your method?
It will be sterling silver, and the crystal will be set in a prong setting. And combined with the design. And the crystal, the way I designed the piece is you can interchange the crystal to your liking.
And so you have a selection of crystals available according to different chakras. Do you know about the rays?
Yes, that's what I actually,
okay.
Exactly what I did.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's my plan. Like I said, I'm still working with the supplier to for the, you know, the good quality crystals.
Okay. So do you know, are you able to hold the crystal under pressure in the setting in some way?
It should be, the crystal should be strong enough to be set in a prong setting. Like I said, I haven't worked out all the details yet. This is still very much in the beginning. It's my vision, and this is very much in the beginning stages of putting it together.
Well, you see, I make jewelry that is activated crystals, you see. And the way you activate a crystal is you put it under pressure. And some ways, the way that in my instance, I use two magnets, very strong magnets, that are placed either side of the crystal. And they exert a very, not particularly strong, but a significant pressure on the crystal. And that causes it to start vibrating. You know about the piezo effect.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, you know a cigarette lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know the ones that kind of have a little clicking sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what that is a tiny piece of crystal that is hammered by a spring-loaded hammer, and when you do that, it expresses about 500 volts. In a very small period of time, and that's enough to make a spark jump across the gap, and that's enough to light the gas as it's passing through the spark. And that's how the thing works. And this process, if you squeeze a crystal, basically produces electricity or energy that will then pass into the jewelry. Did you know that?
Well, I know they all have, obviously they have their own vibration. The way I understand it, I may be wrong, is that vibration will, go into the jewelry, go into the silver, and then transfer over into the person who's wearing it.
Yeah. So using exactly that, it's the vibration is it's an electrical charge. It's very subtle, and it's not actually electrical; it's scalar. They call it subtle energy, but it will go into the ring finger has got two nerve systems on it, which is interesting. Why they use that one to join two things together. So, what are your jewels?
Excuse me?
What are the jewels you're going to use? What are the crystals you're going to use for each of the seven notes?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me. Right now exactly.
Okay. Don't worry. So it's like a dream of yours to create something that does this.
It's in the, I'm talking with someone who works with crystals. He is going to be helping me choose, the best crystals for my intent. And that's kind of, so like I said, it's very much in the beginning stages, as I thought. And I have mocked up a drawing, and my idea is firm, but I haven't put all the production in, I haven't been able to put it in all together yet. It's still tweaking things, so.
Well, good, good, because it may be a avenue into something that might expand for you. But I did encourage you to listen to some of my old shows about crystals and particularly orgonite. Have you heard of orgonite?
Orgonite. That's one I'm not familiar with.
All right. So, Google orgonite, O-R-G-O-N-I-T-E. And orgonite is a crystal matrix that is made of fiberglass, resin, crystals, and metal. And although that sounds like a kind of witch's brew hodgepodge of weird stuff made by a mad professor, it actually works because the metal acts as a capacitor which draws energy in, and the crystals act as a pump which pump it back out again. And it essentially works as an energetic filter. And the way it works is because the crystals are compressed when the fiberglass resin sets. And so that they're set into oscillation, so it's always working. It's a passive device, and they've become more and more popular in the recent years.
And what does it do?
You see the idea of that a crystal can emit good energy around it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what this does is that it draws in any bad energy and emits that as good energy.
Oh, okay. That's what I need. That's what I need to understand.
Yeah. So that's okay. And it's achieved by, you know, it's a very simple thing. You can, you know, everybody can make it. And I think in a way everybody should, because it helps you clear your environment on a subtle level. You know, it's like there are cobwebs up there, and it's a very nice thing to do. It's a fun activity. It's a bit smelly, but you have fun with molds and with making shapes, and you know, use little old glasses and all sorts of things, it's a fun exercise. Do you like doing crafts and stuff like that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Yeah, sounds like something that would be fun to do.
Yeah. Well, you see, and the other thing is that it's a very much easier way of forming your material. So say you wanted to make a pyramid or a tetrahedron or any sort of different form, it's easy to find a mold or to make a mold to create something like that, isn't it?
Yes, and that gives me something else to think about.
Good, good, good. I always like to take people.
I like that.
I like to take people a little, you know, to the next step of where they're going with things.
Yes, I love it. I actually really like that very much.
Awesome. Awesome. So, have you got any questions?
You've given me a lot to think about, a lot of information. I think you were very much right on about several things. And it's been such a pleasure talking to you, and I want to thank you very much for taking your time to talk to me.
Oh, you're very welcome, Ida. And it's always good to welcome new listeners in and to, as I say, get them decoded. Because once you know your rays, then have a listen to some of my earlier shows, and you'll find other people who've got the same rays, and they'll find that applies to you as well. Because I'm talking to the soul family. I'm talking to your whole soul family, and your whole soul family is the massive family of the new incarnations of humans. You know, you're like the whole, you know, future generations are going to be in your soul group. So it's always good to get things going.
Okay.
Start
well,
off on the good foot.
Thank you.
You're
thank
very
you
welcome.
Very much.
You're very welcome.
And I will listen, you know, to your other shows and see what I can learn from them also.
Excellent. Everbeyondradio.com. Everbeyondradio.com. And it's the archives are right there. This show is called Ever Beyond. My Monday show is called Journeys with JP. And there's various other bits and pieces of, you know, things that I've appeared in, and special guests who have, like, done a series of talks. Yeah, there's many different topics as to, like, healing with sound, healing with vibration in general, the dark star, all sorts of, you know, from happy stuff to doom and gloom. we cover the whole gamut. So, Lily, lovely to speak
to you.
Bless your heart. Thank you
very much.
Thank you for calling in. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
So, that was Lily. Lily, oh Lily. How is everybody doing? All right, Grand Cross. We're nearly there. Right, so let's have a look in the chat room, see if there's any... everybody's talking about tax. Oh, it's really hot in here, isn't it? Indigo. Oh, yes. Freeze, there's Free. Yes, hello, everybody. Yes, good to hear your voice. Yes, and it was very good to hear Trixie. Very good to hear you for the first time. Thank you very much for calling in. I should do your ray reading. Hey, do you want to call in and I'll do your ray reading? In the last few weeks? Yes. Harry Reid, yes, that's it. Transhumanism. Pencil Tuggy. So, yes. Oh, you don't know, you're going back to the weather. Yeah, well, we haven't had much... Oh, thanks very much, Fee. We haven't had very much of a winter here, but we have had very high winds. So, you know, really, lots of high winds, a lot, for long days on end. So I suppose that's been winter in some way. So we're about 15 minutes out from the... from the next show, which is Frank Jordan and his healing and meditation group with the Earth Mind Think Tank group, followed by Eva Moore. And Eva has some excellent news, so that's going to be quite fun coming up. You know, we're all facing our Grand Cross. We've all got our stuff. And like I was saying, you know, at this point, the best advice I can give to anybody, and that anybody can give to anybody else about coping through the next period, is breathe. You know, just like the whole childbirth thing, just breathe. You can't control it. It will move through you. It will birth a new you. And that should be quite a good thing to do. Lily. It's lovely to hear Lily. Anyway. Worried about Billy Graham during the Grand Cross. Is he going to explode? Yes. Oh, okay. Keeping the cat theme going. Tiger Lily. So, yes, it's been good to do this show today. Thank you all for coming and participating. Well, like I said, keep breathing. Embrace. Like I say, imagine that the image of the Egyptian Ankh is just like a little child with their arms open, embracing the world, embracing whatever's coming, open arms, embrace it with open arms, whatever it might be. There's no time to fear it, just time to embrace it. So, I think I'm going to close down early tonight, unless anybody's going to ring in. No, you're still talking about the weather. So, the eclipse is the full moon, is the Grand Cross. That's what it is. That's the whole locking in. And so, yeah, good luck with that. We've been on the whipping post. Yeah. So, let's put a few tunes in the way. And I'll see you at Frank's. Thanks very much, everybody. beyond.